This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah!
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah!
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it! It's the best thing going today.
What's up, Top Rope Nation? It's been a while. We haven't done a live show in a couple of weeks, actually. Been quite a while, but we're back with you live to talk about what could be maybe the biggest wrestling event of the year, of 2021, and that's AEW All Out, coming at you live from Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We'll be there. We'll be talking with all of you tonight about the matches and what we think is going to happen in the matches, some surprises that we think are going to happen. Might have a few exclusive details on that, which we will get to later in the show. Before we go any further, my name is Ryan Drosty, the host of Top Rope Nation, and I am joined by my usual co-host tonight, Mr. Justin Joint and Kyle Ross. And so to get things started, let me kick it out to the Buckeye with the drunk guy, Kyle Ross. Kyle, what's going on tonight, man?
Wow, what kind of introduction was that, man?
I debate it in my head because I know you like Michigan, but you live in Ohio. I thought it sounded good.
I'll tell you what, go back to our last podcast. I wonder if Rugged Ronnie Garvin's writing your copy now, man.
Yes. SummerSlam 89, baby. Check it out on the Patreon page.
Yeah. It's going great, you know. Fam, we just had Mexican for dinner, went out to the restaurant, sat on a patio. Everyone, please don't judge us. You know, I was wondering, though, you know, whenever I go to a Mexican restaurant, you know, there is nothing more annoying than those white women who say gracias.
Oh, no. I should have had the meme ready to go.
I texted you hours ago.
I had it on StreamYard, man, but we're using Restream for the first time.
Know what we're doing. You talk about StreamYard. Okay, streaming. Okay. Oh my goodness.
Hold on. I'll get it queued here in just a second.
Okay. People are gonna wonder what I'm talking about.
Let me just Google that. All right. Justin Joint, while I'm doing this, what's going on with you? You're right across town from me. We're gonna be driving into Chicago this weekend together. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can't wait to get to Chicago with you. And I'll tell you what, if this pod gets sloppy at all, I'm ready to get into a worked shoot fight with either one of you guys.
Oh, man. Hey, got to do what you got to do. All right. Do you want to repeat your joke, Kyle?
I just want to know what happened. What the face of a white woman who says gracias at a Mexican restaurant might look like.
What it might look like?
Yes.
Oh, well, let me show you what it might look like. Hold on. Stalling. Stay tuned. Oh, it might look like this. Is that what you were talking about? That one?
There we go.
Oh, man.
How many free platters of chips did I get? Benjamin Cruz wants to. We had at least two. It was two because we ordered the queso and my daughter like annihilated them.
Oh man, Ben Cruz checking in, friend of the pod.
A very good man.
Hey, I mentioned we just did the show on SummerSlam 89, and we've had a ton of people join the Patreon page lately. So I want to, you know, definitely thank everyone who's been checking out the bonus content that we've been doing over there on patreon.com/toprope nation. You can find the link here in the episode description, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening to the podcast feed, all kinds of bonus content going up. We got a show every single week, Top Rope Nation Extra. Usually it's an AEW Dynamite post show that we do. And then a monthly post show, Top Rope Nation Classics. Top Rope Nation Classics last week looked at SummerSlam 89. And just in the last month, we've had, I think, five people join the Patreon page. And most recently, I want to shout out Danny and Kevin and Brian for joining up. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out, you know, the catalog on there. I think we got 45 bonus shows on Patreon now from over the years. You can only hear them on the Patreon page. And really, you know, the Patreon page is what makes investments in the show like Restream that we're using tonight for the first time possible. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much. And you know, if you don't have $5 a month to donate to the Patreon, totally fine. You can support us in other ways for free. You can subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, whether that is Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Google, wherever podcasts are found. And of course, we stream live on YouTube.com. All of our shows are posted on YouTube in video format. YouTube.com/Top Rope Nation. Every single subscription goes a long way for us. We appreciate that. Click that notification bell. So every time we're live, you get the notification. And you know we're on here as we are tonight. It's Tuesday evening. We're putting out the show a little bit earlier than we normally do because we haven't done a pay-per-view preview in a while, guys. You know, our normal shows drop on Friday usually. And that only gives the show like 2 days where it's relevant. And then the shows happen and nobody listens to it anymore. So we thought, since we're going to All Out, we should preview it. And we should do it a little bit earlier in the week so that people can watch it for a few days. And so I guess to start here, let's just kind of talk about our anticipation level for AEW All Out. And, you know, how excited are you? Has this card lived up to the hype that you had in your mind 2 months ago when we decided to go to the show? How hyped are you about this card, Justin Joint? Let me throw it to you first.
Well, my hype is really on a trip to Chicago to have beers with friends and to see live wrestling for the first time in I can't remember how long, and to see CM Punk. And outside of that, this card, I think, is lacking in certain departments. I don't think we're going to see any big title changes, but this card is it's all about CM Punk.
Yeah, you see him there on our video overlay. I mean, this is definitely the CM Punk show, no doubt about that. Kyle, what about you?
Well, like Justin, obviously looking forward to, you know, hanging out with you guys for about 48 hours or so. Live wrestling. Yeah, I can't remember the last time actually I attended a live wrestling card, so this will be fun. And CM Punk, look, it's a really big deal that he's wrestling for the first time in over 7 years. And I think we could be getting another surprise too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's out there, these Daniel Bryan rumors, and I'm pretty confident in that moving forward. I know, you know, from asking around in the world of wrestling, the expectation within WWE is that he's going to be there that night. So
why would they know?
I don't know. They know things.
They know things over there in the WWE.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You're right. Why? I mean, I don't think they're in the booking room. They're in a whole different booking room.
No. It sounds like Steinbrenner's trying to get dirt on Dave Winfield back in the 80s. Yeah.
All I know is their expectation at WWE is that Daniel Bryan's going to show up Sunday. So
we can lead with that. Where do you think Daniel Bryan fits in? And hey, Tony Khan is a Ring of Honor guy. So I got to assume he would come out to Final Countdown, right?
Well, friend of the show, Chad Repack, is texting me all week saying, yo, you know how much that song costs? He doesn't think Tony Khan's going to pony up for it.
Really? I think he will.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
They got a cult of personality.
This Chad's real cheap too. So, you know, doesn't surprise me.
Hey, Chad is a member of our Patreon page, though.
That's
so,
true.
Hey,
never mind, he's not. I'll tell you what, one of the first of the big spenders is what I meant to say. Thank you, Chad. I love you so much.
Would you guys prefer Final Countdown to Flight of the Valkyrie?
I would. Yeah.
Would you not?
It's win-win, in my opinion. I think Final Countdown would probably get old after a while.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I get pretty fired up. I'm not going to lie. I've thrown it on at the gym before when I'm going. Just crank the Final Countdown. Imagine Daniel Bryan coming out at the Now Arena. What a time to be alive. That's a great workout, man.
I started playing it in my car like 3 weeks ago or so, you know, taking the kids to school. Listen, and now they are requesting it. Like every time I take my kids anywhere, they want to listen to Final Countdown. So we've been jamming out and they scream the chorus. It's really fun. And
it's funny you mentioned that. My daughter also got into it too when I was playing it in the car. Oh, what has our lives come to?
Those are two great fathers right there, man, if I do say so myself.
Rocking the Final Countdown on the way to and fro daycare? Has it come to this in professional wrestling?
Hey, wait a second. Kyle Ross, are you drinking Code Red Mountain Dew?
No, it's Mio in the water.
Oh.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Wow. Yeah, staying sober tonight.
I had a margarita and was kind of feeling it, quite frankly, earlier. So.
Yeah, that's right. You did have a margarita, didn't you?
Yeah. There we go. I heard and I said, come on, who says gracias?
Okay, so where does Daniel Bryan fit in, though?
That, I mean, way to bring it back to the athletes, sir.
Yes.
I think it'll be interesting because he's coming in right after Punk.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what you want. I mean, are they going to be 1A, 1B? Is Punk, I mean, the fact that Punk hasn't wrestled in 7 years and the fact that we saw Daniel Bryan earlier this year, there's more of a novelty right out the rip with Punk. But I think they'll be right there at the top of the card, potentially with a returning Hangman Page, who you got to figure is coming back at some point. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be your three top baby faces entering 2022.
I've been kind of debating this in my head because, you know, you wonder, is he going to fit in with Punk? Like, are they going to put them together on TV? And then I thought about, so where on this show would they bring him out? I heard Tony Khan on Wrestling Observer Radio, friend of the pod, Garrett Gonzalez, who we're going to be seeing in Chicago this weekend. And they had a great interview with Tony Khan, and Meltzer asked him about the match order for this show. And he wouldn't reveal it, obviously, but he said that, you know, he felt very confident with the order he had and what's going to end the show. And, you know, obviously it's either going to be Punk or the title match. And
I think it's got to be Punk.
Gotcha. You would think so. I think the only way you could warrant putting Omega out there in the main event is if after he retains, Brian comes out for a face off with him. I mean, that's like the only way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he kept harping on, like, he feels good of what's going to end the show. So, I mean, I assume it's going to be Punk, but I could see Brian coming out, you know, with a Kenny Omega face off, but I really don't know where he fits in. That's what makes AEW so great right now, is the show is kind of unpredictable, right? Well,
yeah, I mean, there could be an angle. Brian could come out earlier in the show, make his debut. And then the way I see this show ending is hopefully after a great match, Punk and Darby and get the Stinger in there as well are kind of like yucking it up afterwards, like patting each other on the back. And then one of the heel groups, either the Elite or Pinnacle, comes out. And then maybe like Brian can come out too. And by God, whose side is he on? Tune into Nitro.
That'd be great. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, that is the word around the business right now. We've been told WWE is expecting him there, and a lot of people are expecting him there. I won't be disappointed if Daniel Bryan's not there, just because we're getting Punk's return and everything. But
I'll be shouting, "Are you fucking kidding me?" the whole time next to you guys.
Kyle will storm out of what is it called now? The Now Arena, yeah. Former Sears Center. They'll be so pissed. No, but yeah, we'll see what happens. But I will say my excitement for this show has kind of been up and down from a card perspective. I'm a little bit higher on it now than I was a couple of weeks ago. I'm really looking forward to this tag team match with the Bucks and the Lucha Bros in the cage. The Bucks haven't worked a cage match. I looked it up and I think it's 7 years, and they've only worked like three or four cage matches in their entire career. So, I mean, that's going to be a hell of a match, absolute hell of a match. And I'm looking forward to that. Obviously Punk's return. And hey man, Christian Cage and Kenny Omega had an awesome match on Rampage. And so you do this one on pay-per-view with no commercial breaks. I mean, it's going to be a great match too. So I will admit, you know, I was a little bit disappointed when John Moxley's opponent was announced, because, you know, for weeks we were hoping it was going to be Hiroshi Tanahashi. And then people are hoping if it's not Tanahashi, maybe it'll be Ishii. You know, instead we got Kojima coming in, who is a Japanese wrestling legend, no doubt about it. But I think, you know, the expectations were sky high for it to be Hiroshi Tanahashi, that was kind of hard to not be let down by that. I mean, how are you feeling about that one, Kyle? The Moxley match.
I think they're building to something.
Okay.
Like a bigger deal with Moxley, where he's going to be working New Japan. Because you kind of look at where John Moxley fits now in AEW. You talk about Daniel Bryan coming in, CM Punk's here, maybe Hangman's returning. He's kind of maybe got to be off in his own world, right? And maybe he's going to do some program where he has multiple pay-per-view matches against New Japan guys.
Yeah.
And so something bigger could be coming at the next one in St. Louis.
Yeah. Got a bunch of people checking in our chat tonight. I do want to say, you know, if you are watching the show and you have any thoughts on any of these matches or anything we're talking about, throw it out in the chat. We are streaming on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch right now as well. You can leave a comment on any of those streams. We can include them in the show, just like you're seeing with our guy Camillo checking in right now. But let us know.
I just want to say something about that Bucks in the cage that you brought up.
Yeah.
It's fresh on the mind here. I think it is way more exciting for them to be doing a cage match than a ladder match.
Yeah.
Nothing excites me less in the year 2021 than another of these ladder matches. Everybody does a ladder match. To me, you know, because I was thinking about this, Justin, during the day, because you and I were talking on the Green Room show either last week or 2 weeks ago about, hey, you know, how does a cage play to the styles and the strength of Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros? I think it's more intriguing how they use it. Like, you know what, I think they've had a ladder match on pay-per-view before, as a matter of fact, those two teams. We know what that looks like. I think there's more intrigue with them working the cage gimmick. I think there's going to be some sick spots. You know, Ray Phoenix, I could see him running the top of the cage, doing something insane. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I think that should be the match of the night.
Yeah, I'm in a little bit better place with that one compared to when we did that Green Room, where that was my concern. Was it seemed like, for one, to me, the steel cage felt like it kind of came out of nowhere. And you have a steel cage match where the opponents get there via, you know, an elimination tournament. Seemed kind of weird. And I thought the steel cage was going to limit the style that these two teams are used to. But I do agree with you where the intrigue is now is how do they work within that steel cage? But my big question, is there any chance the Lucha Bros win the tag titles?
No. They are really over, though, by the way. Yeah. Do you know how over is this Penta? Like, he's every time he works TV, he's like one of the most over guys on the show.
He's really over in Chicago, too. I mean, he worked like the Chicago Indies a lot for years. So, I mean, I don't think so. I wouldn't be completely shocked. If they would have been facing Jurassic Express, I would have expected a title change.
Mm-hmm, same.
With this one, I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting a hell of a match. They had, Kyle mentioned it, that ladder match was at the first All Out that AEW put on back in 2019. And that was for the AAA Tag Team Championships, which Lucha Bros won that match. They retained. Meltzer called that the best ladder match of all time. I mean, it was a great ladder match. I don't know if I go that far, but.
Yeah, come on, Dave, settle down. Come on, stop that.
And it was pretty damn good, but yeah.
Speaking of matches that were overrated, I just can't wait for Kenny and Christian to be way better than Edge and Seth Rollins.
It probably will be. I mean, I expect it to be.
Because as we know, Kenny's better than Seth and Christian's better than Edge. Why wouldn't it be better?
So Ryan Huffman checking in the chat. Good card. Will be strange seeing no Cody, Jungle Boy, or Hangman on the page. That's on the card. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Huffman will be at the show as well. So hoping to meet up with him. We're thinking about doing a Top Rope Nation meetup in Chicago. I know there's a bunch of people that are going from our Facebook discussion group. So I put out a post on there. If you want to join us, join the Facebook Pro Wrestling discussion group. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion on Facebook and join the group. I think I got the link here in the episode description as well. Let's see. Zeus checking in. Wouldn't they rather have Kenny drop the titles before the rest of the Elite does?
I think the AEW title's got to be the last one to be dropped.
Yeah, I agree.
But something else that makes you look forward to that tag match, again, before we move on from that. How good was Lucha Bros Jurassic Express on Rampage?
Mm-hmm.
What a great TV match. Go, go, go. Big moves. Come on. That's how you work a TV match in 2021.
Let me ask you this, because I talked with Greg Parks over in Pro Wrestling Torch, Wrestling United America Sunday about this. Do you think that they should continue pushing Jungle Boy with Jurassic Express right now, you know, for like several more months, if not like a year? Or do you think they should push him in the singles direction soon?
I think you'd be okay in the tag team for maybe half a year at the max. And then you definitely want to get him into more singles, as long as if, because I don't think he's ready for Omega. I think Hangman's better suited to maybe take the title from Omega. And frankly, I just personally don't want to see Miro lose the TNT title yet. I think he's doing a God's work there, if you will.
Yeah, it seems like TNT title would be where you would insert him for sure. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, maybe not so early next year, though. I think he could do both. And I think that's one of the beauties of AEW. You just don't like say, okay, you're a singles now. F your tag team.
So yeah.
Like, he can be both. I think his immediate aftermath following this pay-per-view that he's not on is going to be working with Christian as a heel. I assume Christian, once he loses to Omega, will turn heel. That's just, I think, a fairly logical direction. They teased it a little bit a few weeks ago on television where Christian was on Luchasaurus' shoulders and Jungle Boy kind of gave him a weird look. That they really haven't done anything. Who knows why there hasn't been any follow-up, but that's maybe a match that I could see taking place at the St. Louis pay-per-view, Full Gear.
Yeah.
And Christian's really like kind of a perfect opponent for Jungle Boy. You talk about, and not yet for the titles, but Christian, can probably have his best singles match on pay-per-view with him.
Yeah.
Or something close to what Omega did with them on TV. And Jungle Boy, he did an interview in the last week where he praised Christian, said he's been working with Christian behind the scenes. He's really helping him do better match layouts. So that kind of, it's like him saying that maybe, think, yeah, I don't think those two are done.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a pretty good discussion about this on the Torch, and yeah, I don't know. Like, I wasn't surprised that the Lucha Bros won and got the tag title match because they had just done Jurassic Express and the Bucks like August 18th, I think, on Dynamite. And I do see Jungle Boy moving in that singles direction. Obviously, he's super over right now, but he is so young that, you know, they could give him some more time with the Jurassic Express thing before they move him on. It's not like they're crunched for time here. They can do it slow, but I definitely think that's the direction you go long term. I like that, you know, 6 months ish area, and then you start kind of feeding him maybe into that TNT title picture. But Jurassic Express is a really hot act still, but yeah, it sucks he's not on the show as of right now, at least. But we do have a show with what, 10 matches announced, I believe, counting the pre-show. Yeah, the pre-show is going to have the 21 woman casino battle royale match for the AEW Women's World Championship match. We've got some mystery spots. Not everybody has been announced for that match. Have you guys heard anything? Any rumors about anyone that could be debuting there and surprising the crowd in the pre-show? Is there some names out there?
Yeah, I would say it comes down to two names for the Joker. They always just leave the one surprise for the pay-per-view with these.
There's 8 women to be determined, but I'm sure, like, we're recording this before Dynamite and Rampage, some more names will be announced.
Sure. So the Joker will be one of two people, I believe. Ruby Soho or Anna Jay. I looked it up, by the way, because we had talked about this in Green Room, Justin, you and I, about Anna Jay. Her injury was in January. So Ryan Droste, I know you're a teacher, not a doctor. That's been about 8 months now. I mean, could you conceivably come back from that injury?
Yeah, she seems pretty healthy right now from, like, you know, the stuff she puts out there on Twitter and Instagram.
That's certainly one way to put it, yes.
I mean, she looks like she's ready to go, man. So yeah.
All those pictures are missing is the JR Cowboy emojis, man.
I'm pretty sure he's probably quote tweeted some and done that.
Okay. But
yeah.
The reason that I'm thinking her is during the Penelope Ford, or as Booker T called her, Penelope on his podcast.
Oh, no. Booker T with always the terrible takes. Oh,
Penelope Ford, she interfered in that Bunny Ty Conti match on Rampage. It was Rampage, not that one. And the announcers were really putting over the need for you to have backup in a battle royal. I don't know if you picked up on that. And that led to Ford coming out. But, you know, the Ford Bunny alliance seems so random and out of nowhere. It's just tailor made for Anna Jay to come back and them to work like a tag program. So, and then Ruby Soho has obviously been teasing a lot of stuff with video and whatnot. I could maybe see her being safe for a Dynamite, though.
Yeah, that's the former Ruby Riot for those mm-hmm. following along at home. Yeah, she, I know at least one of the videos was didn't have New York in the video. So I know people have been talking about the Arthur Ashe Stadium show for her, but I wouldn't be shocked to see her here.
Mm-hmm. I expect her to come in.
I mean, you could always do like Mickie James too. She's in the news with the, you know, the NWA women's pay-per-view Empower they had that was pretty successful this past weekend. So
true.
There's a lot of options, man. And the Iconics are out there, of course. So they could, it'd actually be kind of exciting to see who they bring out in that Joker spot for this match, just because there has been so many free agent women wrestlers in recent months.
Yeah. Who do we think is going to win the match though? I think it comes down to one of two people.
Rosa for sure is up there.
That's right? One of them.
Looking at the names, I mean, yeah, they just did Red Velvet, but
no, it wasn't on my list.
No, probably not her. Ashita hasn't really been around since she lost much. Yeah,
she works pretty much on Elevation exclusively.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to go with Rosa probably.
Conti?
I think she's in the mix. Third odds, Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
Unbeaten. I mean, they push her pretty strong. Will you stop with Santina, Greg, in the chat? Okay. Let me tell you who is not going to win this thing. Frickin' Santina Marella. One of the lowest moments in the history of wrestling was when Santina Marella won a woman's battle royal. That was Santino Marella dressed in drag. I believe it was WrestleMania 25.
Oh man, that's great.
Santina?
Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, but Thunder Rosa, that's maybe love when I saw it. Thunder Rosa is definitely on the short list. I think there was some chatter. Oh, was it Reddit? Or was it somebody reposting a Meltzer pod? Said they're really planning on Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker being a big match in early 2022.
Okay.
So that it might be too early for the winner here, because obviously the winner goes on to challenge. that was, I apologize. Yes, it was his sister. Keep on believing. Just like Virgilina was Virgil's sister too. But yeah, I mean, if whoever wins this is getting an immediate title shot. And you know what's interesting with the idea of Thunder Rosa and them going back to her and Britt? How much longer can you keep this Britt Baker a heel? I think she's going to get cheered Sunday. She's been getting a star reaction everywhere she goes. And I think it's a tough spot for Chris Statlander, who admittedly has had a great run since she's returned from injury.
Have they just kind of resigned themselves to the fact, though, that Britt's going to get cheered regardless? And like she can just be the cool heel and they don't even care if she gets cheered? I don't really know, because, yeah, she has been getting cheered for so long that I'm not sure about that, but. You would think that they would want to pivot, but they haven't shown any signs that they want to. So she just, it works. Yeah.
She just got the heater in Jamie Hayter. So obviously that was kind of a double down as a heel. I mean, in her hometown of Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
When she wrestled, I mean, it got a babyface reaction because it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was a heel thing, having, you know, your heater show up and attack the other person from behind.
Yeah. All right. Let's just start off with the rest of the card now. So Moxley and Kojima, already talked about, you know, the announcement of Moxley's opponent there. I think I expect John Moxley to win. First of all, I'm sure it'll be a good match and the crowd will be with it. I mean, look, John Moxley is still super hot and has remained hot ever since he lost the title. He's returning to the city, not the venue, but the city where he won the AEW title. A Revolution last year, and I'm sure he'll get a great reaction. The crowd will be pumped for this match either way. But yeah, Moxley's got to win here, I think. Thoughts, guys?
I would be shocked if he lost. Yes.
Yeah, agree. Okay. It's got to be Moxley.
Well, and one thing that'll be cool too about the show, be some good songs we can rock out to, man. You know, Wild Thing, Cult of Personality, hell, even Jericho's little tune, man.
Mm-hmm.
So much better than those crappy themes in the World Wrestling Federation,
I haven't told you guys this, but I am planning on putting together a vlog of our weekend for the YouTube channel. So I'll take a couple clips on my phone in the crowd of Kyle singing along to the entrance music. So if that is not reason enough to subscribe to this damn YouTube channel, you do it right
please,
now.
Please, just give me a heads up if you're throwing the camera on me when I'm back at the hotel, for God's sake.
I'll have to be careful about that, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. Pac and Andrade. So we've talked a little bit on the show before about, Andrade hasn't really connected how we had hoped in AEW so far. I do think putting him with Chavo was a move in the right direction, getting him away from Vicky. I feel like he has to have a really good match here, though, on this show. And you look, I described this to Parks over on the Torch as this is like a match that I look at almost like I look at every single match in a WWE pay-per-view. What do I always say on our WWE post shows? I always say, you go in, you know, they're going to be great matches and it's a great show in a vacuum, but like the story part, you don't really care about. And that's how I feel about this match. Like Pac and Andrade are going to have an awesome match. I'm sure of it, you know, probably pushing 4 stars, maybe over that. But how invested are you in these two characters right now? That's the issue. Justin Joint, what's your take on this match?
I was very excited when they announced it. The story has been pretty lackluster, to say the least. A lot of my intrigue is here is what you already kind of touched on is it's been a long time since Andrade has given us a banger of a match. I do think there's a possibility if he can find his mojo and if him and Pac have any chemistry that this could easily be a match of the night contender. I'm also really curious to see if or how it ties into Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros, because I think there could be a tie-in there storyline wise.
Yes, that's a great point by you.
Yeah, so especially if the tag match maybe goes before this match. I'm looking forward to just this in-ring. I totally agree with you, Ryan. This definitely feels like a WWE pay-per-view match.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So you're saying, Justin, maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound like I am, that Lucha Bros lose the tag title match, but they could maybe then come back out and turn on Pac and go with Andrade here.
That's what I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's in play for sure. And to Ryan's earlier point about, you know, Andrade needing a good match. Look, I'm always the first to say the point of professional wrestling is not to have a good match. But Andrade needs a good match in Chicago real bad. I mean, he's only had the one, right, in AEW. Yeah. That's Matt Sydal. People didn't like it. And so he needs to really boost his rep, because you got this CM Punk's come in, Daniel Bryan's coming in. I mean, if he's not careful, I mean, Malakai Black, in terms of the guys to recently jump from WWE, has certainly seen his star rise more than Andrade. He needs a look at me kind of performance tonight. And one thing that's interesting, Pac does not lose very often. So it would be a big win in canon if Andrade wins here. You certainly hope he could back up what I believe is going to be a win with a strong in-ring performance.
Yeah. Greg is just on fire in our chat right now.
I'll tell you what, I don't believe that, Greg.
Jeez.
The Kevin Nash's Quad Memorial Vanilla Midget Finals? I don't believe in that. I think these men deserve more.
Oh, Greg went on to say that he's looking forward to this match.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah.
Kind of time for Andrade to blow the doors off if he's ever going to. Agree.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there that he needs to. Yeah.
All right. So this one will probably not be a long match, but we've got Paul White, formerly the Big Show, no more Big Show, returning to the mat to the ring to take on your boy QT Marshall, Kyle. And
God, this guy single-handedly put the WWE Performance Center out of business with his quality trading.
Ain't that the truth, man? Ain't that the truth? Yeah, I mean, I expect this to be very short. I expect Paul White to get the victory, to have the big choke slam to excite the crowd. What are you guys looking for out of this one, Justin?
Any chance we see Shaq?
Unannounced.
Remember when WWE had Shaq show up at WrestleMania unannounced?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, it's Shaq. And he was like gone in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, God, I hope they got their money's worth there. Look, people can make fun of this match all they want. But when we're entering, you know, the 3.5 hour mark of a 4-hour pay-per-view and there's 3 matches to go and this is one of them and it's over and done with in 3 minutes, you'll be thanking Mr. Paul White.
It's going to be brief, no doubt about it. Yeah. Let's go to Jericho and MJF. So were you guys surprised with the stipulation here? Because we know that AEW really sticks to their stipulations, unlike WWE. You know, they're making a point that they want to build that trust with their audience, and the stipulations stick. Look no further than Cody Rhodes. You know, he has a challenge for the world championship. So if Chris Jericho loses, his wrestling career with AEW is over. They mentioned with AEW. And, you know, there's been some talk about him wanting to, you know, he transitioned to broadcasting. God, I hope not. Sorry, Chris, but man, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'd much rather watch him wrestle. And it's hard for me to believe that Chris Jericho would actually be done in the ring. And he's, you know, he's lost to MJF several times already. So I feel like even though, you know, MJF's record is what it is, I feel as though somehow, some way, Jericho's going to get the win here. I would be shocked if he lost. What do you make of that, Justin?
Yeah, they kind of had to do the stipulation because we've already seen it a few times. But the flip side is it makes the match really predictable. I don't think Jericho is quite ready to retire. Yeah, for me, this is a lose-lose match. It means either more Jericho in the ring or more Jericho on the announce table.
On the announce table. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. No, it's... I will say, like, the stipulation draws me in to it a little more, though, than it would have been if it was just a regular singles match, you know, because we have seen MJF beat him. So in that regard, it makes it interesting. Like, you know, is he really done? Is there any chance he would retire? I mean, the fans love singing him to the ring with the theme song. He's still incredibly popular. I have a hard time believing they'd do that. What do you think, Kyle?
I've talked myself into the fact they should do it. I've talked myself into the fact that Chris Jericho should retire. And you're right, they don't like to break stips. And if I don't know, but man, you look at the potential babyface landscape in this company. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Hangman Page, Darby, Sting, Jack Perry, Cody, who's going to come back at some point, Mox, Orange Cassidy. That's 9 baby faces they've got to push, not including Jericho, not including Christian, who I've got turning heel in a few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think that Jericho should be an especially pushed act at this point. I think his role now should just be to give the rub to younger talent.
Yeah,
which, you know, if you retire, I mean, you can't do that at all. I don't think he needs to be a featured guy at this point, but just to have the option that he continues to work here and there, you know, whatever, regardless of my opinion and Justin's opinion on it, he can keep doing some announcing here and there, but you need to have that option to get him in the ring.
Yeah, I know. And that's going to be tough. But, and here's the thing too, MJF, you think about, I retired Chris Jericho, what that does. I mean, imagine if you did CM Punk MJF at the next pay-per-view with MJF off retiring Jericho. Again, you're right. You put a gun to my head, please don't. I'll pick Jericho to win just because, you know, seems like wrestling 101, right? That we've been taught. This is the babyface has been backed into a situation. He's going to go over here and win the feud. Man, if he doesn't win, and MJF wins, don't expect me to really cry or weep, or I'll probably support the decision.
Yeah. All right. Miro and Eddie Kingston. This one I'm looking forward to quite a bit. Just feel like these two are great opponents for each other. I almost wish, you know, that they would have had more time to build this up just because of how great Eddie is on the mic. And I'm sure they'll do something. Some of you are probably watching this after Dynamite airs this week and after Rampage, but I'm sure they'll do some stuff this week. But I would have rather had, you know, a couple more weeks of build to this. You know, maybe they could keep it going past the pay-per-view. I don't know. You know, I don't expect Miro to lose under any circumstance, but I do expect them to have a really hard-hitting match, somewhat competitive. The crowd will really be behind Eddie. And yeah, I mean, the build this week should be really good. Justin, you said you're really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it took me quite a while to get on board with Eddie Kingston, but he's just having one hell of a 2021. And I agree with you. I hope and pray Miro doesn't lose the title. But Eddie Kingston is a great opponent to kind of have a feud with for like the next month, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eddie is a classic babyface that you could put into this spot. Cause I think like we all agree, Miro is going to retain. So it's like, all right, we need a babyface that entices the crowd enough, but you know, won't be damaged by losing. Well, Eddie Kingston, I think, fits the bill. I think he was a perfect call. It seems to me that the storyline here is Miro was mad about the Fuego del Sol deal where he got his contract. But if you remember, Eddie got a contract a little bit over a year ago, despite losing his first match. Like, I guess that's the story they're working with here. I love that segment they did. What was that, on Rampage? No, damn it. Two shows. I'm getting them confused.
That was
where,
Rampage.
Yeah, Eddie comes out and he goes to talk. He's like, nah, screw it. He just ran into Brawl. That was cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. Britt Baker, Statlander, AEW Women's Championship. You know, at one point in time, we thought that this might be Thunder Rosa, but Statlander is really doing the best work of her career right now. We've talked about this on the pod before, too. I mean, how many people come back from a torn ACL and improve? She has. The last time she worked a pay-per-view in Chicago for the AEW Women's Championship before, and it was the worst match of the show when she faced Nyla Rose at Revolution 2020. I do not expect this one to be the worst match of the show. Statlander has been great since she returned. We've talked about how her, you know, her alliance with the Best Friends has been really good for her character as well. Baker, just super over with the crowd right now. This should be a really fun one, Kyle.
Do you bring out Orange Cassidy here to get him in front of the live crowd? He could do some shtick with Rebel.
Yeah. I could see that. I think, yeah, I mean, if they don't announce anything for him for the show this week, this is the point. You got to do it. And yeah, you can't have this pay-per-view without Orange Cassidy making an appearance. I mean, this guy is top five most over guy on the roster, I think, with the crowd. So yeah, Justin, your take.
Kind of a theme of this card is it feels kind of predictable. I don't see any scenario where Britt Baker loses the title here.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Baker's going to retain. So, and, you know, we've talked about this tag match, high expectations, probably a match that's going to push five stars when it comes to Dave, who'll be there in the crowd with us. Kyle, maybe I could get a video for the vlog of you like putting your arms around Dave Meltzer and shaking him or something. Now that's the content I'm looking for. Yeah. Six stars, Dave. Dave's going to be in our section. We'll be sitting with the observer crew.
Then I'll be like, Dave, what are we giving that men's Money in the Bank match 4¾ for? Come on.
we sit down in the crowd.
Can we knock two stars off it right here between you and I?
Oh man, we sit down in the crowd
four
and you're like
three quarters.
You're like, Dave, we really got to talk about the 92 Rumble here and that grade. It's right to your heart.
My heart rate was down. My heart rate was down earlier, so now you're gonna get back up.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not really expecting a title change here, although, you know, when you look at the show and all these people are retaining, Miro's not going to lose. Omega's not going to lose. Baker's not going to lose. So, I mean, if they want to do a title change, this would seem most likely to me. Kyle, you said it earlier, man. Lucha Brothers, they're over. They're really over. The Bucks act, the heel, like kind of cocky act thing that they've been doing, obnoxious heel thing, is kind of wearing a little thin.
Oh, really? I think they're like got it down to a T. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think they're good at it. I think they're good at it, you know, but they've had the titles for a while and it's just, it is, I could see them doing something to inject some excitement into the division, you know, after they've been beating everybody. But yeah, to quote you, gun to my head, I'm picking the Bucks, but I wouldn't be shocked. Like, this is the match where a title change is most likely, I think.
I don't think you should change the title just to change it. Like, just,
no,
like,
I agree.
I don't think a booker should ever look at cards and say, oh my God, I've got no title changes here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think that that's a no-no. You can get yourself in some trouble. I think it all depends on what you've got down the line. I would love to see a tag team title program of the Bucks against Darby and Sting.
Yeah.
Like, love it. Like, I would just love to see the Bucks stooged for Sting. I think they would be in just seventh heaven doing that. So, yeah, I think they're going to still retain.
Yeah. Agreed. Justin, you picking a title change? When we used to do all these preview shows all the time, you usually walked out on top with the most predictions right. So, Mr. Nostradamus, what's your pick?
Yeah, I would like to go Lucha Bros. But to Kyle's point, it does feel like it would be kind of out of nowhere since there really wasn't much story leading into this. The wild cards, kind of, we've already alluded to, is Andrade or Pac maybe interfering in this match. Maybe Andrade comes in to get Lucha Brothers on his side by helping them win the titles, which would be kind of an odd babyface move for a heel. But
yeah, I think it'll happen the other way. Like,
yeah,
we said where they would lose and then they would help, you know, Andrade.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to follow the Top Rope Nation crowd and go Young Bucks.
All right. And Omega and Cage, I expect this to not main event unless they got something playing with Brian, but nah, you gotta have Punk in the main event here in Chicago. So Omega and Christian, yeah, I mean, there's no way Kenny Omega's dropping the AEW world title here. I think dropping the Impact title to Christian was absolutely the right decision, because it made you take Christian as more of a credible threat than he was before. You know, we talked before about how it didn't really feel like a pay-per-view match when it was first announced. But I think after that Impact title change, it has felt like a pay-per-view match. And especially, you know, the fact that that was a great match. Now I'm really looking mm-hmm. forward to it way more than I was just a handful of weeks ago. But yeah, there's no way that Kenny's dropping the title for him, you know, here. I do expect this to be like a 4.5-star match. I think they're going to have an awesome match.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, Dave gave the TV match 4.25. And this is pay-per-view. So if we're predicting what Big Dave's going to give it, I think 4.5, probably it's going to be right around there. I don't think it's going to be worse than the television match.
Would you guys be surprised coming out if it wasn't one of Christian's, I don't know, 5 best matches ever? 3 best matches ever?
As a single? Yeah. I mean, as a single, absolutely.
Christian's had some bangers.
I mean, especially when you look at the tags, you know. But
this guy carried Ezekiel Jackson and Jack Swagger to workable matches. Watchable, yeah. Pardon me.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about the build? You know, they had a nice little promo package with Don Callis.
That was awesome.
I love what they've done with Don Callis in this, with the Winnipeg connection and everything.
It got a little goofy with them saying that, you know, he kind of threw Christian under the bus because he had a 10-year-old Kenny Omega lined up behind him.
You know, that's kind of like what you would say if you're here, because it was so preposterous. But true. Yeah, that was kind of lost in the whole Road 2, the thing with mm-hmm. Punk, right? Yeah. Because they showed the behind-the-scenes production.
If you guys haven't seen that, watch that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And, in the segment right beforehand, you know, the people who did pay attention to it, I know, were big fans. This Christian Kenny Omega video they had was absolutely tremendous on that.
Yeah.
What's that production guy's name, by the way? Well, it's because I don't know if we'll mention it again. The Tim, what's his name? The guy that they had, Tim Walter, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember now. All Cornette really put him over is like somebody who, you know, had obviously, you know, handled WrestleManias before and didn't like Kevin Dunn, apparently.
Oh, imagine that.
Said, he left WWE, didn't like the way he was treated. And I guess he had done some work for Cornette in both Impact and Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, I think he did it pro bono just because he likes wrestling.
Wow.
What's this guy's name? AEW Tim. Now, I don't want to like.
You're talking about the director in the truck that was doing all the camera cuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable to watch the way that, if you guys know what we're talking, don't know what we're talking about, AEW on their official YouTube channel, they posted this video. It's like the behind the scenes of Punk's return at the United Center. And when he does his entrance, they show the production truck mic'd up with how they're calling all the camera cuts as he's walking down, and how they timed everything just live perfectly to get, you know, that big CM Punk sign in the crowd as he got up on the turnbuckle, and just the way he calls it out is insane. It's like, I majored in that in college for like 1 year, and I can't, like, I've done a little of that and it's super hard. And the way that guy was just camera to camera to camera and timing everything perfectly, it's so impressive.
Tim Walbert. The name. Yeah, and yeah. But yeah, I would have just run out crying if I was a part of that production.
It's so crazy, man.
I can hardly handle when you tell me make sure high definition's selected on this little.
Yeah, you should see us off air. Yeah, click the gear wheel and make sure this is selected for your mic. And
But Cornette had some really nice things to say. He was like talking about how, you know, more than anybody, how this was a sign of AEW getting professional people. And I know obviously Cornette isn't, you know, a big AEW fan, but he was a big fan of that thing that they had with Tim Walbert. He put him over big time.
Yeah, super cool. But yeah, I do think Christian winning the Impact title did a lot for this. I think the Don Callis, you know, the backstory between Christian, Kenny, and all of that, like that has been with the Canada history, that's been great. So I think they've done, they always do this though. Like, I'm not surprised. You know, we talked about All Out, what, a month ago, and we're like, oh, gee, there's only so many matches announced. You know, how are they going to get there? But then I think we also said, look, this has happened before where they didn't have much announced. And then in those final closing weeks before the pay-per-view, they really drive it home and they get you invested. And I mean, that's where I'm at now. I think that, you know, over the last 3 weeks, they've done an excellent job building up Kenny Omega and Christian Cage. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I didn't think I was going to be, because, you know, we're going to the show. When we bought the tickets, we were expecting Omega and Hankman. And so to not get that was a little of a downer at first. But now I know, you know, we're seeing this living legend in the second run of his career working with Kenny Omega, and the way they've built it up, I'm invested. I'm ready for it. I'm excited.
And Christian, I mean, this is how you want a top contender to be built up, right? He came into the promotion in February undefeated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's beaten the champion for one belt before. I mean, you can't ask for much. I mean, is it this huge box office world title match? No, it obviously isn't. It's being overshadowed by another match on the card. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they want to take it off Kenny Omega yet, although there were rumors that it was going to be Omega and Hangman, I guess, right? That's the word that's come out, that this, it was a change.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the game. So Christian's got no chance of winning, but you know, I think him having a good effort, losing, turning heel, he's fine. Really interested how the crowd's gonna respond in this match. Again, I know Zeus in the chat said, does babyface heel even matter if it's, you know, if they're being reacted to like stars? The answer is no. I think, you know, but you know, I it's still something worth noting. Like, is the crowd going to be behind Christian, the live crowd in the show? Is he going to get a star reaction?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the big concern would be fans like us who love Christian, but also probably don't want to see him win the title here. So how loud will we be for him?
Yeah. And that's the thing, because no one's expecting the change. It kind of deflates, you know, the crowd for a title match.
Yeah,
which could be, you know, that is not, you know, going back to Daniel Bryan, that'd be a good reason to bring him in here at the end, because this is pretty easily the most predictable match on the whole card.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? They should bring Braun Strowman out with a briefcase and he could just stand at ringside the whole time.
Oh, my God.
Because get a match over like that, a big time title match. That's what you need to do when you're going to coordinate your new top baby face. Just distract the live crowd with the threat of another guy coming in and winning.
Oh, man.
And then not doing it.
Please, God, no. Boy, Kyle, if that happened, we would definitely include that in the vlog, because those reactions would be something to talk about. All right. Main event time. Punk's first match in 7.5 years, Darby Allin. This one's going to be interesting because of the fact of the face-face dynamic. Of course, it's going to be interesting because Punk is returning, but we've talked on the show about this where, you know, it was kind of an awkward opponent for him because they're both good guys, and Darby is one of the most popular guys in the company. Tony Khan said on that Observer interview that I mentioned a little bit ago that he suggested this match to Punk and Punk loved it. You know, obviously Punk had to sign off on it, but it was Tony's idea. He thought it would be really cool for Punk to work Darby Allin. Punk had mentioned before that if he would return to wrestling, Darby Allin was on the list of the guys that he would want to wrestle. And when he's talked about in these promos that if he was a teenager again, Darby would be his favorite wrestler. That's legit, you know? So Yeah, I'm obviously looking forward to seeing what Punk looks like in the ring after all of this time off. By all accounts, you know, from his training in the ring, he looks like he never left. Physically, he looks great, you know, to see if he's as agile in the ring and as, you know, how his speed is compared to where he was before will be interesting. And just the crowd reaction too. I mean, obviously Punk's going to get the massive hometown reaction, but the crowd's going to be cheering both guys, I imagine, you know. And when it comes to getting a victor here, you can't beat CM Punk in his return. And that, you know, so for Darby Allin, yeah, he's probably taking the L here, even though he is this rising star. But I think we'll get the GTS finish. Don't you think, Kyle?
Yeah, it would be completely insane. Yeah. Asinine to beat CM Punk on the show. It'll be interesting how they work the match, because you can't do a long heat segment, right?
Yeah.
When it babyface first, I think it's just got to be go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Just keep the crowd into it. And it's got to be.
Which is more pressure on Punk. Yeah, yes. More pressure on after this long, you know, long layoff. Yeah.
You talk about how he's looking these days. I think he looks better than he looked 7 years ago.
He looks more rested. Like, I mean, just his face, he looks more healthy. But he definitely looks more rested. Leaner
and cutter. I mean, he's in good shape.
Yeah. Did you guys see him? Have you guys been watching Heels, by the way, on Stars?
No, I have not. Nope.
So you guys need to watch this. This show is awesome. You know, we all know Stephen Amell, the star of the show, is a huge wrestling fan, and it's really cool. And the episode 3 that aired this past Sunday, Punk was a character on it. And he was phenomenal in the role. That he definitely, I know he's been in some small budget movies and stuff, but I think he does have a future as an actor. He was really good.
I did see the video of them covering up all his tattoos, which was pretty amazing. Like that 10 was, hours.
we talked about that when my wife and I were watching it, because the character he played, the tattoos would totally fit his character. So I was kind of like, wow, why'd they go through all the work to cover up all the tattoos? But yeah, he has zero tattoos as he wrestles on the show. But yeah, well worth checking out.
Did you hear who he's kind of emulating with that Ricky Rabies character?
No.
Tracy Smothers.
Okay.
No one can emulate the great Tracy Smothers.
Zeus checking in. Yeah, Ricky Rabies was the name of the name of the wrestler. So he comes down to the ring with this character, and he's with his girlfriend, and he's with his girlfriend and his son. And his son, I think it's his son, he has like this like this stuffed animal. It's like I think it was a squirrel, and it's like on a drone, and the kid like flies the drone up to his opponent's face, and that's Amell, and then it just like spits blood everywhere all over him. It's pretty cool. But yeah, check out Heels. I know I'm getting off track, but I mean, it just aired, so I was thinking about that. But I mean, he's done the acting work since he's been off, but man, 7.5 years is a long time. Think back to when Shawn Michaels returned, SummerSlam 02. You know, it felt like he had been gone forever, 4.5 years. You know, add another 3 years onto this. Also, Punk's older than Michaels was when he returned. Mm-hmm. 42. I think Shawn was like 36 at that point in time.
I'm honestly a little concerned about, actually, I think somebody just posted that in our chat room.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about this match as far as the quality will be and how that could maybe kill the crowd or put a damper at the show if it is the main event, just because hasn't wrestled in 7 years, going up against an opponent that he's never been in the ring with. You know, Michaels and Triple H were obviously good friends. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had ever actually had a match before that. So I'm a little worried. There's going to be a lot of pressure on CM Punk's back to really carry this. And I don't know, maybe they should just treat it like one of his MMA matches and have Darby squash him in 10-15 seconds.
Let's
get Darby over. Let's use this show to get Darby over.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure, man. We talked about it. We pitched tag matches on the Green Room show. They could have done like a six-man with the Elite and had Punk team up with Darby and Sting or something like that. A singles match with Darby Allin is a lot of pressure. As Kyle said, it's going to be go, go, go. Darby's going to kill himself for this guy, though, out there. Like, he'll take absolutely everything. So I'm not super concerned because Darby's going to be probably bumping all over the place and they'll have an entertaining match, but I will definitely be watching it with a keen eye, you know, to see what Punk looks like.
A lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get at least one face-to-face cool moment with him and Sting. I think that's got to happen.
Yeah. There's someone in the chat that's very concerned with stage sets and ring ropes. I don't really care about that, to be honest with you.
Least of my concerns.
Yeah, but hey, to each his own, to each his own.
As long as they don't break.
We don't want broken ring ropes. Yes. A la Summer, was that SummerSlam 96? Yokozuna match? I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, against Austin. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about if Lucha Bros win the tag titles, but the ropes are broken the entire time, so they have to hand them back? Tony Khan cuts that from the pay-per-view.
A phantom title change.
So, hey, yeah, that's the card. We're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to hopefully connecting with some of you in the Chicago area. Again, join the Facebook discussion group. We'll be talking about what's going on this weekend. Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion is the group on Facebook. Anything about the show that we haven't talked about that you guys think we should? That I haven't brought up outside of just the card itself.
I mean, Daniel Bryan, I mean, we all think he's going to be there. We all think he's signed. I mean, obviously, to my point, the WWE expects him to be there. Well, that tells you where he's bound. He ain't still employed by Titan Sports, apparently. Yeah. there was, I believe, a report. Wasn't it bodyslam.net, Ryan?
Yeah.
That
Cassidy,
you know,
Haynes, yeah.
Yeah, he had said... reported that Brian was going to be there, that he's saying it. Around same time and when I saw that, I just sent out some ravens to ask things like that. But I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Well, yeah, Cassidy Haynes, bodyslam.net. He had said, you guys are looking at the chat. We got someone drunk in our chat right now. Cassidy had said that the deal with the Brian debut. So like this was originally planned for Arthur Ashe Stadium end of September, not too far away. But we know COVID is getting out of control again in the United States. There's some concern about, you know, limited attendance again. And, you know, this show is definitely happening. Illinois has mask mandates. Cook County, where the show is happening, has mask mandates. So everyone that goes to All Out will need to wear a mask. So I think the feeling was that they needed to have it happen now just in case, because we don't know what's going to happen in 4 weeks. And you want to have Daniel Bryan return in front of a big crowd and a hot crowd. And, you know, if anything happens and New York has to limit attendance, you know, you got to do it now. And so that was what he had said in the report as they had pushed it up.
Yeah, I apologize. I was going to go into that. I was just getting blindsided with this demand for new stage sets.
Dude, the guy in the chat, AEW has not been around for 8 years. I don't know what is going on right now. All right.
June 2014, WWE.
Wrong company, buddy. Wrong company.
Yeah, no, this is AEW's All Out.
You never know what you're going to get in a live show on YouTube.com. But we would love to have for all of you to join us next time. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on Twitch. We stream it on Facebook as well. We stream it on Twitter. You know, we're available pretty much everywhere. And this is going to hit the podcast feeds within probably an hour of this show and show going off the air tonight live. So we'll be ready to go. Justin and Kyle, I am really looking forward to this weekend. Kyle, it's been what, 3 years since we've got to hang out in person?
Three years is a long time to be champion.
We'll be having a good time this weekend. And I don't know what our plan is for a release. You know, we kind of talked about maybe doing a post show at our hotel, but it could get really late, especially getting out of the venue that night. So I don't know. Well, you know, we might have our stuff to possibly do it, but I'm not going to promise anything. You know, at worst, we'll do a recap show when we all, you know, get back home and talk about the weekend as it was. But we wanted to put the show out early so everyone could have a few days to digest this before the show airs on Sunday night.
I say let's just get butt-ass wasted and do it in the hotel, man.
That's what I was going to say.
let's bring this business back.
It might happen. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, because you know what, if we do stream that live on the YouTube channel, you guys, if you're listening on the podcasting feeds, when we go off the air, I'm probably not gonna have time to mix a podcast right away. So get on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. You'll want to see that. You'll definitely want to see the travel vlog I'm planning on doing. That's going to be a good time. And so we got some fun stuff planned in the weeks ahead. I've been talking to some people off air from the wrestling media and people I've known for a while about coming on the show in the weeks ahead. We're going to get some cool guests on in the next month. So be looking forward to that as well. So with that said, fellas, I think we covered it, right? Anything else?
Tony Khan, if you're listening, please have a unique stage set. Somebody in the chat that is just really, really wants you to reverse a trend that has gone back to Payback 2014, where WWE is no more cool stage sets from WWE. So, Tony Khan, it's all on you this Sunday, buddy. We need a new stage set for this guy in our chat.
Oh, man.
Real big. Patrick, I'll talk to him, buddy. Patrick, maybe? Patrick, I don't know.
Oh, man. All right. It's been fun. Thanks for everyone who was joining us tonight. We will talk to everyone again real soon. I think this was episode 220. I did not check. Something like 220. Top Rope Nation. Close enough. We'll catch everyone next time. Have a good week. Enjoy this weekend.